Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I would like to sing a song. I don't know if you know it, but you can sing it in Chinese. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let us worship the Lord. Wherever you are gathered together, let us worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let him give you a new song. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we worship. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. We enter into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We gather in your name just to worship you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Zamejou, Zamejou, Zamejou. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, Yarabara, Yarabara, Yarabare, Salamalande. He gives us a brand new song. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we enter into your courts with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come with praise and worship to you. We ask you to pour out your spirit upon us. We so desperately need you, Jesus. We desire you with our whole heart. We come in your name. We have access to the Father through your name, and we believe you to pour out your Spirit, just like you did when you rose from the dead. The doors were shut, but that didn't hinder you from entering. You came and revealed yourself to the disciples. They were sad. They had felt you were dead. They knew it. They saw you buried. Oh, but suddenly, the door being shut, you entered. And you spoke, peace, be still. That was your first word, peace, be still. And today, Lord, even though our doors are shut and we are shut in, we hear your voice speaking, peace, be still. You said, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We believe you this morning, Lord. We welcome you. We invite you. Come and fill our hearts. Fill the room where each one of us is dwelling. Oh, Jesus, we invite you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Make yourself known to us. Give us ears to hear your voice. Open the door. and come in. For Jesus, we ask it in your name. Amen. It's so good to be with you. We wish I could see each one of you, but I know Jesus is with you. There's an old song that came to me this week. It was called Shut In With God. These are the words. Shut in with God in the secret place. There by His Spirit, beholding His face, we gain new power to run in the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with Him. Yes, these are days when we are being shut away from each other. All over the world, they're encouraging us to stay at home, that we are to be shut away from the danger of the virus. But you remember the story of that resurrection morning. Jesus came right in through the shut door. Nothing hindered Him from entering in. You know how it was a very sad day. I was with Pastor Chow the day in China when they told us the door is closed to you. And his passport was stamped no entry. Oh, it was so discouraging. But we realized in the midst of it all, we belong to God. And even though the government closed the door, God had a plan. And actually, shortly after that time, the internet ministry opened up. You see, God's way ahead of the enemy. And even though China said no entry, God opened this wonderful avenue that while Pastor Chow and Mrs. Chow live in Dallas, Texas, still He can communicate with you online. God has wonderful plans for us. And even though we are shut away from our churches at the present time, the door is open in our homes for the Lord Jesus to enter. The closed door is not a barrier to Him. The question came to me, are we taking advantage of these days of being shut in? When our dear friends no longer can see us face to face, are we using this time to draw near to God, to come down low at His feet and say to Jesus, I surrender myself more completely to You? That should be our goal, to come closer to Him, surrendering ourselves more fully to the Lord Jesus. We may feel we did surrender our very lives to Him at one time or another. Some of you may remember my testimony of consecration to the Lord Jesus. It was over 50 years ago. After much soul searching, I wrote out a document of surrender of myself to the Lord. I wanted it to be like a contract. I didn't have much feeling about it, but I knew God wanted me to surrender. I had come through a near-death experience, and I realized that God was wanting me to belong altogether to Him. So without much feeling or emotion, I took a pen and paper and wrote my contract. Said, I, Martha Beidle, give myself altogether to the Lord Jesus Christ. I give my family, my future, all that I have to belong altogether to Jesus Christ. And before I signed my name, I said, I leave it open for anything else You show me that I need to surrender. I still have that document. For many weeks after writing it, I began my prayer each day reading my contract out loud. It was a way of reminding myself of my decision. And there were things I needed to add from time to time. But through the years, what a comfort it was to say, I belong altogether to you, Jesus. Whenever I faced danger or trouble, I would say, Jesus, I'm yours. Peace and courage would fill my heart, even in times of uncertainty and disappointment. I'd say, I'm yours, Lord Jesus. I just want you. A different time, maybe when I was visiting the doctor for surgery or a dentist for trouble, I would say, Jesus, I belong to you. It was so comforting when maybe my mouth was full of pain as they were going to drill my teeth. I would whisper to the Lord, I'm yours, Jesus. And it would bring me peace and comfort. Well, several months ago, Pastor Chow asked me to read Andrew Murray's book on absolute surrender and prepare to share some thoughts for this week's class. I told him I had the book. I had read it many years ago, but in rereading it the last couple months, it has brought fresh light into my soul and a desire for Jesus to help me to belong more completely to him. As I read, I began to see the reason he wants us to give ourselves to him is that he may possess us more completely. You know, if you see your neighbor's children and you want to try to help them, you don't have a right to. Your own children, you can help. They're yours. In the same way, God is only free to take full possession of us as we give ourselves completely to him. He wants to have our whole heart, our affections. He wants our mind to be filled with his thoughts. And God's greatest desire is to see his son, Jesus, reflected in us. You know, in the epistles, we read that in bringing many sons and daughters to God, he made our captain perfect through the things which he suffered. Oh, that's what his desire is, to bring us into that likeness of Jesus Christ. So, we consider then, the more we lay down our natural self-life, the more capacity we have to receive the fullness of the Spirit of Jesus himself. Shouldn't that thrill us to realize we can have more of Jesus? He desires to fill us with his own Holy Spirit. He wants to indwell our vessel, but he cannot do it unless that vessel has been placed in his hands, fully surrendered, emptied of self, that it may be filled with Jesus. How does he do that? He does it by his Holy Spirit. Do we realize how much we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That's why Jesus came and shed his blood, that he might be able to fill us with his own Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, I'm going away. It's necessary that I go away. If I go away, I'll come back. I'll come back in the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that possesses me, he said, would possess you. But the first step in this Christian life is to surrender all to Jesus. I've just told you how I made that surrender 50 years ago. But these last few weeks, the Lord has given me this word, go back to Bethel. And so it came so clear, go back to Bethel. Well, I know what the Lord meant. Bethel was the place of the altar. Bethel meant surrender. The story is in Genesis of Jacob at Bethel. Let's turn there. Genesis 28. You know, Jacob is running away. He was afraid of his brother Esau, because he had stolen the birthright from his brother. Genesis 28, we'll start at verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Bathsheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, the north, the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. That he had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. This is a story of Jacob's consecration. It was a story of his decision to have God be his God. God promised him such wonderful blessings. God has promised us greater blessings. He has promised us all the riches in Christ Jesus. He's promised us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is what he is doing for us. He's promising us the riches in Christ Jesus. But we hinder him if we do not surrender ourselves completely to him. That's what Bethel meant. He made his vow to the Lord. If we turn to chapter 31, verse 13, we see that God remembered that vow. Verse 13 of chapter 31 says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your family. He did it. He obeyed. He went back to his own land. God remembered that vow. God doesn't forget. When you bow before him and surrender yourself altogether to him, he keeps it. Now, on his way back, he became very frightened of what his brother might do to him. You remember the story of how he wrestled with the angel. And the angel that he wrestled with changed his name. He is no longer Jacob. He's Israel, a prince with God. on his way back after he met his brother, peaceful Greek meeting. God was with him. He still had some fear, so he settled someplace else where trouble came. It greatly disturbed Jacob. His sons took vengeance on the people that raped his daughter, Dinah. And Jacob was so displeased. He was fearful again. What would the other nations do to them? If we turn to chapter 35, we see what happened. God appears. Chapter 35, verse 1, then God said to Jacob, God speaking, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And he does it. Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify your hearts. Change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. God never forgets. He's reminding Jacob, I told you, go back to the altar. Go again. Renew your consecration. Put away any other idol. Purify your hearts and change your clothing. We're going back to God. This story came back to my heart with that word that the Lord said, go back to Bethel. Oh, I realized, even though I made a consecration 50 years ago, there was more that the Lord wanted me to surrender. This account spoke so clearly to me that I need to return to the place of the altar where I first made my vow to the Lord. Now is the time to allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts, to see if there's anything that we're neglecting to lay on the altar. Could it be our self-will, or self-confidence, or self-effort, or self-love, or self-centeredness? Oh, to plead with the Holy Spirit to search the hidden recesses of our hearts, the hidden places in our thoughts and words, our ambitions, our plans, our wishes need to be laid at His feet. I remember a time in my life many years ago when I thought I knew God's will for me. I woke up in the middle of the night with the thought that someone, something was part of God's plan for my life. One day, by the mercy of God, I heard a sermon on that helped me. But before that, even though others did not agree with me, I held on to my thought of what God's will was. I was determined that God would bring His will to pass contrary to the opinions of the others involved. But as I told you, one day by the mercy of God, I heard a sermon on the great need to lay down even what we think is God's will. God's light shone so bright on my heart and revealed that's what I was doing for several years. While the minister was preaching the word, I felt like I wish the floor would open up and I could hide. The word of truth so exposed me. I got alone with the Lord. I ran out of the place. I took a long walk. I could be all alone with the Lord. And I told him, I surrender my own ideas. Then I was at a place where I could say, what do you want, Lord? in his peace as I surrendered what I thought was his will. He gave me his peace as I surrendered what I thought was his will. I went on my face before him in the carpet, and I said, Lord, what do you want? He gave me that wonderful peace of surrender. A few months later, he opened the door of his choosing, and that has made all the difference in my life. That was way over 30 years ago. So I was so glad that the Holy Spirit convicted me of wanting my own way. Sometimes we have a dream and we interpret it one way, or we get a word that we think God is speaking. Sometimes those thoughts come out of our own desire. And then the time comes when we need to lay all our thoughts at the feet of Jesus. A dear missionary friend of mine from Africa gave me this prayer. Pray, Martha. Jesus, I just want you and your wonderful will for my life. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. The searchlight of the Holy Spirit spoke to me through that minister's word that he preached so clearly that sometimes we get an idea, we feel it's God's will, and we don't care what anybody else says. We're going to believe for that to be done. And the better way is to say, Jesus, everything is in your hands. Everything is surrendered to your almighty plan. Do you remember how the Apostle Peter had this same awakening at a time when he was so certain of his surrender to God? If we turn to Matthew chapter 4, we read in, verse 19. Let's do 18 also. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Oh, that was a beautiful surrender. And so Peter was so certain he made that surrender. He had left his father. He had left his business. He had gone those 3 years walking with the Lord. But we know what happened when Jesus told them about going to the cross. Peter said, no, not you. I'll never deny you. Peter said, I'm willing to die with you. But Jesus gave him a word. He said, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. No, Peter said, that can't be. I have surrendered everything to you. But we realized what happened that night. Peter denied him three times. And one of the gospels tells us at that moment, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Oh, that look from Jesus. Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was broken. Jesus wants us to see him looking at us during this time. It's not what I can say or what you can think. It's that look that comes from Jesus. When his eyes are upon us. For me, that came through a sermon preached by a man of God. Now that minister is in heaven with Jesus. But we have the Holy Spirit. He wants us to get alone with him. He wants to turn his searchlight upon our hearts. He wants to speak a word to us. Just like he said to me, go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where you first made your vow. God doesn't forget that time you surrendered to Him. I heard of a person who made such a surrender that others said it was drastic surrender, like a 180-degree turn. They saw such a complete change in the person. They forsook their old life, their old profession, and they turned to God. Now that's wonderful experience, but there's always more. Every day we should say, "Search me, O God." David prayed that, "Search me and see if there be some wicked way in me. Do I remember my consecration? Have I gone any deeper in my surrender?" Oh, that the Lord would show us ourselves the way we really are. The end of John's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 22. This is after Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And this is when Jesus said to Peter, verse 22 of chapter 21, Jesus said to him, "If I will that he," meaning John, "remain till I come, what is that to you? Follow me." In the beginning, he called him to follow him, to leave his father, his home, his business. Now he's calling him to leave himself, like his plans for the future. Hallelujah. Now if we turn over to the book of Acts, just a page away, so many people are familiar with Acts 2, but Acts 1 has the words of Jesus. This is after the 40 days from his resurrection. Jesus is saying, verse 4, "Being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." Hallelujah. That I want to bring out word that he's saying here is wait. That's what he said. Peter's among that number. Wait. Wait. The school that you are in has been very profitable. Pastor Chow has taught so carefully the leaders the great need to wait on the Lord. Here's Jesus' command to them. Wait. We know from the scripture that they waited 10 days. They didn't know when the Holy Spirit would be poured out. Jesus said, wait. There were 120 of them that gathered just to wait. I don't know how the Chinese are about waiting, but I know the American people don't like to wait. They hear about something they can have. They don't want to wait for it. They want it immediately. Those 10 days of waiting in the upper room were appointed by God. Those 10 days of waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit were spent in soul searching. When the Holy Spirit is working, He sheds light on our hearts. The Holy Spirit opens our understanding to see our tremendous need. We need that Holy Spirit to possess us. Jesus said, "I go away, but I'm coming back." He said, "Wait, I'm coming back. I want to fill you with my own spirit, the same spirit that possessed me when I walked this earth. I want to pour it out upon you." It's a spirit of love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long suffering, and gentleness, and faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But in order to be filled, we need that emptying process, that return to the altar of surrender, to weep as Peter wept, to have Jesus Himself look upon us, searching into the hidden part of our heart. It needs to be exposed. and freed from all self-centeredness. The gracious Holy Spirit is moving over the whole earth these days to prepare a people who will be willing to come down very low and acknowledge without Him we can do nothing at all. Shall we not cry out day and night for God's light to pierce our darkness, to remove the scales from our so self-righteous eyes? I'm reminded of Mrs. Robinson's word, "You can preach the gospel, but do you know the King? Is Jesus King of all He desires to be? He's passionately in love with His church, His bride, but she is so full of defects, so unlike Him in personality, so prone to live just to admire and seek great things for herself. Now is the precious time we have to cry aloud and spare not to prepare our hearts for the coming of the King to make us clean vessels in His hands with no that He would help us to deny ourselves in the daily life. Yes, that is the testing ground, the daily life. Is the power of the Holy Spirit upon us in the everyday life? He desires to have us so connected to Christ the vine that His sap runs through our tiny, thirsty branch, resting in Him. Let Him take full charge each day while we seek only to do His will. This is a restful life that waits for us. The Holy Spirit wants to check us when we speak the wrong word. The Holy Spirit wants to stop us when we're thinking the wrong thing. That's where we deny self. Man that told me he prays every day, "Set a watch over my lips." We need that watch. We need to have the Holy Spirit check us when we go to murmuring and complaining. We need to stop, close our mouth, and let the Holy Spirit have control of the vessel that belongs to Him. A beautiful picture of the yielded life is to observe creation. See the lovely flowers here beside me. I love flowers. My husband gave me those for our wedding anniversary this week. Andrew Murray spoke about lovely flowers partake of the glory of God without any effort on their own. They are surrendered to their Creator. Pours into them the breathtaking splendor of His glory without any resistance on their part. How much more would He do in the human race if we learned the secret of being an empty vessel, fully surrendered to His will and plan? The sun, the moon, the trees, the flowers, they offer no resistance. And as we look at them, we see the glory of God, because God has His entire way with them. He desires to have His way in us. Oh, let us draw near to Him. Let us be willing to have Him search our hearts. The Apostle Paul learned that secret of deliverance. He discovered his wretchedness on the road to Damascus, when he cried, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" That light from heaven shone upon him. He thought he was a very good person. He called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He obeyed the law. But when he saw the Lord, he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, the very one you've been persecuting." And then he gave himself so fully to the Lord Jesus to follow Him, filled with the Spirit of the Lord. He walked in the Spirit of the Lord. He was led by the Spirit. Yes, he had much danger. He had much pain and suffering and stoning. But Christ took possession of him. And he could cry, "It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me." Can we not offer ourselves as empty vessels for the Father to fill to capacity what he chooses? What does he want to do? He wants to fill us with the fullness of Jesus Christ. He wants to form us to the image of his dear Son. We can look pretty good on the outside. We can be like the Apostle Paul, a real Pharisee. We can act pretty good in church, but now when we are confined to the daily life at home, is it Christ living in us, or are we still very much alive unto ourselves? Oh, that we must yield ourselves to him. God will do the work in us. Let us place ourselves in his hands. Let us go back to the altar of surrender. Let us have a renewal of consecration and say, "Oh, Jesus, here I am. I surrender all. Absolutely surrender, including all myself. Come, live out your life within me." We can't both occupy the same place. You must. It must be either Christ or self. "Lord, I surrender all to you. I give myself completely to you. Take over. Live out your life within me. Let me think your thoughts. Let me feel your feelings. Let me speak your words. Check my words. See if there be any wicked way in me. Give me the spirit of brokenness. Weep for my lack of love. That as your bride, I will have your desires over your lost people. Love through me. Live through me. Let it be no longer I, but Christ living in me. Help me to make a complete surrender. And Christ might be all and in all. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you. And take some time to be alone with Jesus today. Go before him. You don't have to have great feelings. Just be honest. Say, "Take me, Jesus. I want to belong altogether to you." He claims that full surrender. And he's willing to work it in us. Don't you know it is God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good work. Hallelujah. Jesus, I pray for every person listening. Pour out your Holy Spirit. We're so dependent on your Holy Spirit. We know we can of our own self do nothing at all. We ask you to go from heart to heart. Let your light shine upon us. Reveal to us any place in our heart where you want more territory. Help us to see in the vision that you desire to fill us with yourself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, Ahadim Jimyah, Juan Jitu, Jireh. You want to sing it with me? Jehovah Rajarashim. Amen. Jesus living in us. We have to say, deny Martha. Let Jesus rule. Let Jesus. God bless you. I love you. Bye.